Okay, welcome to our shiur on Chayrim Rabbeinu Gershom, otherwise known as One Wife Too Many. There are a few misconceptions about how many wives you could have, and could you have more than one wife, and what we do if you have more than one wife, and what the circumstances and permutations and situations are. So let's get a general overview of Chayrim Rabbeinu Gershom. If you have any questions, you could ask as we go. First of all, people think that until Rabbeinu Gershom came around, you were allowed to have as many wives as you wanted. But if you look in the first source in Yevamos Daf Samachay, you'll see that it's actually not so simple. Amar Rabbi Ami, kol hanosei isha al ishto. If you have a wife and you marry another wife, yotzi v'yitein ksuva. You have to divorce the second wife, and we punish you, but you have to take care of her by giving her her ksuva, even though you didn't have a happy marriage for a few years. You have to pay out a lot of money, even though you're just married to her for a day, because you can't have a second wife. Rava Amar, Nosei Adam Kama Nashim Al Ishto. You could take many wives upon your present wife, who, as long as, and this is a very important factor, and this is how we paskin, to Isle, you have enough limizaininhu. As long as you have enough to support them. So this is how we paskin. So if the Shulchan Aruch would say you're allowed to take a lot of wives, he will add this caveat that it's only if you have enough to support all those wives that you do plan on taking. There's a story, I don't know if it's true or not, I'm assuming it's not true, that in Europe, I think in Volozhin, they used to read the letters that the Talmidim would get because they were scared of secular influences, of Haskal influences that might infiltrate the walls of the yeshiva. So I don't know if it's a real story or not, but the secretary in the yeshiva opens up one of the student's letters and calls in the student and says, you know, your wife tells me that you're not treating her well, and I'd like to talk to you about this, you know, this issue, the way you're treating your wife, the way she describes in the letter how you're treating her. And the fellow replies to the secretary, which wife? And the secretary says, what? How dare? What are you talking about? You have more than one wife? He's like, sure, what's wrong with that? So what do you mean what's wrong with that? Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom. You can't have more than one wife. So the student replies, yeah, well, Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom says he can't read my mail either. So I assume it's an apocryphal story, but Rabbeinu Gershom made a lot of takanos, many, maybe even more than a dozen, maybe even dozens. We actually don't have the text of Rabbeinu Gershom's takanos himself, but at different generations, Rabbeinu Gershom was considered probably the Gadol Hador all across the board at his time, which was about 100 years before Rashi or so. 50 years before Rashi, and among them were that you can't read somebody else's mail. What we're going to talk about primarily is that you're not allowed to take another wife, a second wife, and something that works together with that you can't be Megayish Baal Karcha. Now, just to put the last two together, is there any purpose of making a takana that you can't be Megayish a woman Baal Karcha? If I say you have a wife and you want to get rid of her, so Mida Raisa, you could just give her a get, throw it into her lap, throw it into her backyard, and she's Megureshes Midaraisa. But in order to actually, for women's rights, it sounds funny, but all the people who complain about women's rights, Rabbeinu Gershom was misakin to protect women's rights, that it's not fair that women should be agunas, they could, you know, it's all up to the husband, that the husband could decide to divorce them or not. So Rabbeinu Gershom came around and actually, believe it or not, because of this reason, to equate the playing field, said, well, the husband is in the same situation, that he can't divorce his wife unless he has her permission, unless it's with her ratzon. Well, what's going to happen if Rabbeinu Gershom made a takana that you need your wife's acquiescence in order to divorce her, and she doesn't say yes? So what will you do? You'll just take another wife. So that's why Rabbeinu Gershom had to make two takanas, and each one works off the other. In order for the takana to work, that you have to be megarish only with your wife's will, he also had to make the other takana that you're not allowed to take another wife, because if you could take another wife, what's the difference? If I can't divorce my first wife because she doesn't want to take a get, no problem. She doesn't have to take a get. I'll go marry somebody else anyway. But once I'm not allowed to marry somebody else anyway, so then I have to make sure that I'm able to give my first wife the get, Miritzona, and I hope she takes it. What we come out with, according to that, is that once you have Rabbeinu Gershom's takana, that you cannot take a second wife, and that you can't force your present wife to take a get, we have something called an agun. You've heard of the aguna problem? Rabbeinu Gershon created the agun problem. Because just like a man could make his wife, you know, in trouble, a wife could equally make her husband in trouble if she doesn't want to take a get, and now he's not allowed to marry another wife, so he's going to be in trouble. He'll be an agun. And actually, the first reference that we have to Rabbeinu Gershom's takana is the Ra'avan, is the earliest text, I guess, that you'll find of Rabbeinu Gershon. And Rabbeinu Gershon, the Ra'avan actually says, Rabbeinu Gershom's takanas, we don't have his writings. We don't have the source of the actual writings of the takanas. We just have what the Rishonim say about those takanas that were presumably very widespread. So if you look in the second line of the Ra'avan, you'll see, V'hayo lo lehis agen ima, that he will himself become an agun. An aguna, but an agun. That is the first historical source of Rabbeinu Gershom. So we're talking about the year 1000 or so. So that's Rabbeinu Gershom. And now we're going to talk about some of the characteristics of how Rabbeinu Gershom made his takana. First of all, does it apply everywhere or not? I'll tell you that my in-laws live in Yerushalayim, in Ramot Bet, and up the block from them there is an old Iraqi, I would say couple, but I guess the proper word would be a triple. There's a husband and his two wives that he brought from the old country. They're obviously very Sephardi. And there were two women. Sometimes my mother-in-law tells me that sometimes two women come to shul together. It must be a very cute triple. So obviously that itself shows us that the takana of Rabbeinu Gershom was not completely widespread. Let's see the Beis Yosef in Evan HaEzer. The Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom is in the very first siman in Evan HaEzer. Evan HaEzer, siman Aleph, towards the end of the siman. The Beis Yosef says, Osa takana, this takana of Rabbeinu Gershom, not to take multiple wives, lo pashta b'chol gvulos seina, to not extend to everywhere, v'lo b'gvulos provancia, not in Provence, which is southern France, hasmuchim et sarfas, that is next to France, maisim b'mekomenu, and it's common, I don't know, it's common, but it definitely happens among ourselves, v'talmidei chachomim v'anshei maisa, not just regular people, but even upstanding righteous people, shenasu isha al neshehem, that they marry a wife above and beyond their present wives. No one ever raised a problem. That's the first issue, in terms of where the takana spread. The second point, which the Beis Yosef points out, is a Maharik. The Maharik, who's also one of the early Rishonim, has another limitation to Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom. Because the Maharik, which we'll see a little bit more in the next source, Shelo hiskin Rabbeinu Gershom ella ad sof ha'elaf hachamishi, until the end of the fifth millennia. So how long ago was that, or will that be?
December.
What?
Ended, no?
So what year are we in now? 5,772, right? So that means the end of the fifth millennia was 772 years ago. So that means, what is that? 1240 or so. 1240, right. So 1240, that was, according to the Maharik, the end of Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom. Even among the Ashkenazim who do have Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom, it ended, according to the Maharik, in the year 1240. And therefore, you and I are not bound by Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom, even if we are red-blooded Ashkenazim. So let's see the Maharik where he mentions this limitation of the 5,000 years of the Elef HaChamishi, and we'll see. So it ends up that his whole takana was around 200 years long or 230 years long, something around that, and we'll see why he had to put a time limit, because as you and I know, most takanos derabbana that we're familiar with, we don't find them accompanied with expiration dates. How come Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom had an expiration date? That's something that we'll have to explore.
Is there a general issue with being like sacking something for like a Horasha type thing?
That's where we're going to go. We'll just go that. That's going to be where we're going to go, yeah. So look at the Maharik on the bottom. The Maharik has a question. And he tells you the question that he was asked. Look in the second line. Haisha, this is the person, the husband, and you'll see the desperation that he speaks with. Haisha asher nasan Hashem imadi, the wonderful wife that Hashem granted me, midas hadin pagaba. You know, God's wrath struck her. Vidoleles sichla, and her mind is murky. I don't know what the lelus is. V'da'atanas niskal, she, her mind has become sachal, foolish. She went crazy. V'em ba'das lahara ulheitiv. My wife just pleasure went crazy. She went off the wall. She went off her rocker. But I'm married to her. And now what do I want to do? I want to get married and have a normal family. But what are people going to accuse me of if I do? They're violating Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom. So therefore he asks, V'atam Ori, my dear Rebbe, this is actually, Marik is quoting a Tshuvas HaRashba that we don't have. So we only found it in the Marik. V'atam Ori, the Rashba, please, Hatzila Nafshi Mishacha, save me. V'horeini, and teach me, Amani Rashai Lisa Acheres, if I'm permitted to take another wife. And thereby, if you do let me, stone peace, shut the mouths of those who are Yal'igu, who will make fun of me, will ridicule me, lomar to say, shalom kadin asisi, because of Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom. I want you to please shut up. Those people who are accusing me, who would accuse me of being a violator of Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom, so can I take another wife if my wife went crazy? Now, Marik was, I don't know, the Marik was somewhere in the 1200s, 1300s probably, I don't know exactly.
What's the problem with just giving the first one a get?
Oh, what's the problem with just giving the first one a get? The answer is, okay, Rabbeinu Gershom, like we said earlier, also is mitakein, that you have to give it midaita, that you can only give a get with her willingness.
It's not that she has
if she is a shota, you can't give her a get, according to Rabbeinu Gershom. Midah, right, so you just have to put a get in her hands and she's gone. There's some other issues, midaraisa, midarabanan. When you give a get, the Gemara get and says it has to be that she'll take the get and go with it. If she's not going to go with it, so you're not v'shil chami beiso, you have to send her away. But she's not going to be sent away because she doesn't realize that, you know, she's no longer wanted here. So midaraisa could be a problem, midarabanan. There are other issues. If she's a shota, we're worried if you divorce your wife as a shota, people will just rape her right or left because she's no one to protect her. So midaraisa, midaraban, there could be problems. And Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom also says that you have to divorce your wife only if she's willing to accept it. If she's a shota, then she's not willing to accept it. So that's the question. The question is, this poor guy, his wife went nuts, went berserk, she's institutionalized, could he marry another wife? He's stuck, or is he going to be an agun for the rest of his life? So answers the Rashba, quoted in the Marik, Tshuva, Takanas Rabbeinu Gershom, lo ra'isi. I've never seen this Takanas Rabbeinu Gershom. I've heard of it. But Velonis Pashit B'chol Eretz Yisrael, it hasn't spread out to our countries. That's A. That's what the first point of the Rashba. Secondly, V'hadas Nota, and it appears proper, that he didn't make his Gzera, Shalo Gozer Takanas B'chol HaNashim B'chol HaMegarshim. He didn't make his Takana as a cross-the-board Takana, that, you know, anyone who's married can't ever divorce his wife, you know, can't ever take another wife. Shalo also, this is a very important line, because this is telling us, why did Rabbeinu Gershom make his takana that you can't take more than one wife? What would you have said?
Why
can't he take another wife? Why would Rabbeinu Gershom say no more wives?
Maybe jealousy between the two?
We'll see that.
Stray
maybe jealousy,
heart.
Maybe what?
Stray in a man's heart.
Too many wives will make a man go astray, okay? If they're Jewish, it's not that was... Even if they're Jewish, you're saying...
The whole thing is called a tzara in the first place.
You're saying it's just a tzara? Yeah, a tzara, yeah? Because that's very interesting. Actually, that's what I would have thought also, but interestingly enough, none of the opinions that I saw mentioned that reason, that the non-Jews who already are into monogamy... And if they see us doing polygamy, they'll look down on us. I would have thought that would be the best answer, but it's interesting to note that I didn't see that in the Achronim. We'll see a few other answers, but that's what I would have thought would have been the best answer. Okay, but what does the Rashba say is the reason that Rabbeinu Gershom made his takana? It's a very general line in the bold print. Shalo asa, he only made this takana, ligdor bifnei haparitzim, to make a gather, to fence in the face of the paritz, of the people who want to, you know, break through, v'hololim, and the frivolous people, hama'ololim, who take advantage of their wives, shelo karari. If you could, it's basically a women's, it's a protection for women. It's the first, you know, legislation to protect women's rights. If you have a wife, if there's a wife, and all of a sudden, husband comes home one day and says, guess what? There's a new, we have a new lady in the house. So he's going to just invade the first person's rights and the whole way the house is built, and people will take advantage of their wives. You know, you didn't, you're not, if you don't do what I say, I'm going to just marry another woman. You don't cook me what I want. You're not going to do how I, this how I want, that how I want. I'm just going to marry another one, and it'll be a terrible, you know, blackmail that could be taking advantage of wives, and therefore the Rabbeinu Gershom says we don't want that to be. We don't want people to take advantage. So, according to that logic, the Rashba says if that's the logic, we could come out with a tremendous kula. If the whole reason is that we don't want you to take advantage of your wife, but what happens when there's a terrible, unfortunate situation that you're interested in taking a second wife and there's no possibility of taking advantage, not because there's even a remote chance that you're taking advantage of the first one. Your wife went crazy. She's not, you can't even live as a husband and wife. There's nothing happening between you and her. You just want to have a normal family life. You want to have another wife. So the whole reason is that you're going to take advantage of the first one. Well, here, your first one, if the first one went crazy, then there's no reason why you can't take another wife. Because we're not, we don't have to be worried that you're going to be take advantage of that poor first woman. The first woman is off her rocker. She's institutionalized. Ah, so based on this logic, the Rashba comes out with the following kula. And the underlying lines of Al-Ba'elu, Sha'amru, but of those women that the Chazal, there are certain, the Gemara, I think Ksuvah says that there are certain women that you're allowed to divorce, you should divorce, you're not allowed to live with them, whatever the situations are, and this could be a similar application, a woman who went crazy. Ba'elu Sha'amru Shuman Ad-Din, that it's appropriate to divorce your wife, Omen Achiv, you might even be obligated to divorce your wife if she's, let's say, not, if she's a little bit too promiscuous, it might be like a sota, for example, and other, and even less than a sota, might be appropriate to divorce your wife. B'zeh lo gazar harav. Rashba says, the Rabbeinu Gershom never made his gzeira here. Fine. And then he adds, kol shekein, and all the more so, you could take another wife. Sheshamanu, that we've heard, shelo gazar elo lizman sof ha'elef ha'chamishi, that he only made his takan until the end of the fifth millennia. So, therefore, the Rashba says, if your wife went crazy, you can take another wife. Let's talk about one other question. We're going to get there. We'll get there. That's just the Rashba. Let's talk about one other question. Let's say I have a person who's in a situation that there's a mitzvah for him to take another wife. What's a case of a mitzvah for a person, even though he's married, to take another wife? What? Puruvu. I mean, he's married to his wife for 10 years. They haven't had any children. So now he has a mitzvah to take a second wife. What other case is there a mitzvah to take a second wife? Yibam, right? You're married to a wife, and then the person's brother dies without any kids, so there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to do Yibam. Okay, there's chalitza also. But in these two situations, where there's a mitzvah sasei d'oraisa, either Puruvu or Yibam, to take a second wife, would Rabbeinu Gershom have instituted his takana that you're not allowed to take another wife? Meaning, does Rabbeinu Gershom have the broad shoulders enough, the audacity, to say that I'm instituting my takana not to take another wife, even at the expense of you fulfilling mitzvah of Yibam or the mitzvah of Puruvu? That's what the next Rashba talks about. We're not going to go through it inside, but we will see it in the Shulchan Aruch. Let's see in the Shulchan Aruch how the Shulchan Aruch puts together the main halachas of Takanos Rabbeinu Gershom, and then we're going to go into a few more of the reasonings for the Takanos. So let's see the Shulchan Aruch on the bottom of page 2. Rabbeinu Gershom hecherim, he made a cherem al hanosias ishto, if somebody marries, I'm going on the bottom of the page, I'm skipping the middle Rashba. If somebody marries al ishto, meaning above his wife, before somebody beyond his wife, aval biyavama lo hecherim, says the Shulchan Aruch, by a yivam, if you're married to a woman, and then a woman falls to you with the yivam, there's a mitzvah to take the second woman, there, Shulchan Aruch paskins, there's no chayim Rabbeinu Gershom, and you are allowed to do yivam and take a second wife. So halach l'maisa, if I would ask you, is there a possibility that a halachic Jew, who's Ashkenazi and who follows chayim Rabbeinu Gershom, is there a halachic possibility of him having multiple wives?
Yes.
The answer is 100%. No, if you got the second one with Yibam.
We pass in Chalitza's Kodemes.
That's true. Okay, fine. That's true. V'chein Ba'arusa. Also, interestingly enough, the Shulchan Aruch says, let's say you don't have a full wife. You only have an Arusa. You're an Arus. You had Kiddush, but no Nisun. So you're not really living with her yet, with your wife, with your, whatever you want to call her, your Arusa. So is there an issur there to take a second wife? It's not, you didn't even have a first wife that you're already living with. So Shulchan Aruch also is mekel. The Chaim Rabbeinu Geshem only applies if you have a real wife, you can't take another real wife. Says Rama, V'hu adin, b'kol makom sheyesh dichui mitzvah. In any situation where this Chayrim is going to push off doing a mitzvah, that I'm not going to be able to do my mitzvah if I don't take a second wife. Kegon, for example, Sheshaha im ishto eser shanim v'lo yolda. If you did, you've been waiting with your wife 10 years and you haven't had children, also you could take another wife. Amnam, however, listen to this incredible chumrah. Yesh cholkim, there are those who are machmir, v'svir lay and hold, the Chayrim Rabbeinu Geshen no heg, it applies afilu b'makom mitzvah. Afilu b'makom yibum. Even in a b'makom mitzvah, even if you have to do pruvu, I'm sorry. Rabbeinu Geshem says, don't do the mitzvah. And even b'makom yibum, you have the possibility of doing yibum. Rabbeinu Geshem says, don't do yibum. Okay, by yibum, you have the opposite, you know, the easy way out of tzarech lachlitz. But what's the svar? How could he say not to do pruvu? It's a mitzvah daraisa to do pruvu. How could Rabbeinu Geshem come around and say, I'm sorry, don't take a second wife?
It's possible mitzvah
b'yabim. But you're right. But how could he institute his chayrim lechatchila in a way against the din d'araisa? That's what you're going to have to say. You're going to have to say that he's basically saying that his concern not to have a second wife, whatever the concern is, that we saw one, we'll see some others, is that he's willing to take on his shoulders that you don't do a mitzvah d'araisa, puruvu.
Well, that was yesh koch b'yad chachamim. I don't know.
But that's probably what's operating here.
But I thought it was like for a rasha, though.
Ah, so we're going to get to that in a minute.
Wait.
Whether it's a Horaz Shah or not, it might be Horaz Shah, right? If you hold that it's only until the fifth millennia, it might only be a Horaz Shah. We'll see. Let's go to the bottom line. V'lo pashta takanasa b'chol ha'aratzas. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that, like a good Sephardi, that this institution does not apply all over. But the Rama here says, wait, not so easy. V'davka, that's only in a place where you know that there's no takana. V'davka b'makshi yodua, shalo pashta takanaso, in a place that you know that the takana wasn't effective, that's when you could be making and take a second wife. If you specifically know that that this region did not accept Chayim Rabbeinu Geshem. Aval min hastam, but if everything is just, you know, stam, there's no, we don't know anything about this locale or not. Noheg b'chol makom. The Chayim Rabbeinu Geshem applies all over, unless you know otherwise. So here you're innocent until proven guilty. You're guilty until proven innocent. You're bound by Rabbeinu Geshem unless you know specifically that this region never accepted Rabbeinu Geshem's takana. And now look at the next line of the Shulchan Aruch on the top of page 3. It says the Shulchan Aruch, this whole game, this whole takana, even though I told you before that it's limited to certain locations, it doesn't apply anymore. V'lo hechrim ela ad sof ha'elef ha'chamishi, quoting the Maharik that we saw earlier. It only applied till the year 1240 or so, and after the end of the 5th millennia, there's no more Chayim Rabbeinu Geshem. But of course, the Rama says, mikol makom b'chol medinos eilu, but in our countries, in Ashkenaz, ha'takana v'haminhag b'makom ha'omid, the takana of Rabbeinu Geshem, and even if the takana isn't applying, there's still a minhag. That's what he's saying in these two words. Hatakana veha minhag. The takana of Rabbeinu Geshem. And even if Rabbeinu Geshem halachically is not binding anymore, even if Marik is right, that's only till the end of the fifth millennia, nevertheless, it's still a minhag in our countries, b'mekoma omeid, not to take a second wife. Ve'ein nosin shtei nashim. What happens if you do? What happens if you, a nice Ashkenazi Jew, take a second wife? Do we say, okay, b'diavad, it's done. What can we do? Kofin becharamas v'niduyim. We do kfiya. We do. We'll force you with chayrem. We can't beat you up, but we have chayrems and we have niduyim. Those are our tools. Misha over anyone who violated v'nosei shnei nashim legayish achasmi. We make you divorce one of them, and of course we make you divorce the second one.
But it's still chal.
What?
It's still chal.
The marriage is chal because marriage is chal midaraisa. So the kedushin and the nisun is chal. But we're going to make you give him a get. We're going to force you to give a get. Fine. So that is basically the halacha of what is asr, what is mutter. Now let's go into what are the reasons for the Chayim Rabbeinu Geshem. And before we do, let me ask you a chakira. I want to ask you, is Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom something to improve society? Let's call that a takana. Or is it to prevent isurim as a geder for the Torah? And we're going to have some very serious nafkaminas, whether it's to improve society, a takana, or a geder, a fence for Isser. Let's see some of the reasons, and after we see some of the reasons, we're going to see some very important nafkaminas between whether it's just a social takana or actually a geder to prevent isurim.
But what is there?
We'll see. We'll see. That's exactly what we're going to see in a minute. First of all, we have the Beis Shmuel. The Beis Shmuel on the side of the Shulchan Aruch says, "Why is there a takana of Rabbeinu Gershom? Hatam avur ba'agos maimonis mishum ketata tikon." He instituted it for what reason? Ketata. What's ketata?
Arguments.
To prevent arguments, to prevent fighting, right? They're tzaras one to another. So you want to prevent fighting. And the next four words are so important. V'lo mishum drara d'isur. Not because of any inkling of isur. There's nothing halachic behind his, in the rationale behind his takan. It's a completely social convention, a completely social enactment to prevent fighting. So Rabbeinu Gershom was wise, and he cared about the Jewish people and Jewish families. He wanted to prevent fighting. For that reason, only for that reason, he made a takanov not to have more than one wife. If that's true, that it's only a social convention to prevent fighting, and there's no iser that he's trying to protect, we're going to have a nafka mina come out from the fact that it's only a social concern. Kosa b'darke Moshe, the Ramah in the Darke Moshe, wrote a nafka mina mizeh. Let's say you're going to have a machlokas. Machlokas, Rishonim, Achronim, Poskim, if Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom applies in a specific situation. Let's say that whatever, we're not going to go into the details. Let's say there's a certain question where there's machlokas if Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom should apply. So if you say that it's the whole nature of Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom is to protect Isurim, so you could say if you have a machlokas, but it's together for Isur, maybe we'll be machmir. Masha Ein Kein, what he's about to say, if the whole reason is just a social, you know, to help society, as a machlokas, there's no iser involved, there's no religious concern involved. Well, if there's whole, the machlokas, if it applies at all, if there is a halach of Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom, whenever situation, for example, let's say 10 years passed, they didn't have kids, so there's a machlokas, whether or not Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom applies. So if we say that the reason for Rabbeinu Gershom itself in the first place was only a takana for social convention and no is involved, we could be Mako. Let's get inside. Hey, Nafkaminim is a Hecha, where? De'ika plugsa b'takana. If there's a machlokas, whether or not the takana of Rabbeinu Gershom applies in the first place, ha'meka lo hifsid. If you're Mako, there's nothing wrong with that. Kevan, since anyway lekach shash iser, there's no iser to be concerned of anyway. Fine. Therefore, the last line, Lachem b'makom sveika, where there's a safek, you can be mekel. Fine. Now, the best place to get all the rest of the reasons for the chayim is actually Encyclopedia Talmudis, the yellow book, and it's Baruch Hashem, it is on the Bar Ilan, so I was able to cut and paste the section that talks about Rabbeinu Gershom, and the Encyclopedia Talmudis brings down five different reasons. We saw so far two of them actually together. We saw the Rashba on the first page of Marma Kalmas. The Rashba said that it's to prevent people from taking advantage of their wives. What we just saw the Beis Shmuel is to prevent fighting. So that's the first two. Number one is Kedei Ligdor Befnei HaParitzin, to put a fence in front of the people who are taking advantage. The second one is to prevent fighting. Those are both from the Rishonim. So the Rishonim themselves are both giving reasons of social concern. Not Isurim that are involved, they're just Takanos. And we're going to see why that's important in 3 minutes after we see the other possible reasons. Why else might Rabbeinu Gershom have instituted Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom? This is going to be fascinating because this stuff you never heard, the following. These are all suggestions offered by the Achronim. Number three, the Torah says that if you take another wife, Sheirach Susav Anasa Lo Yigra, you have to make sure that you don't leave out any of their financial, emotional, physical support that they need. So, what makes sense to assume? Pharaoh Ben Gesher says you can't take another wife. Why? Well, do you remember when we saw the Gemara, the very first Gemara, where it talked about taking a few wives, and Rava said, you're allowed to take a few wives, as many as you want. As long as the last three words are the first source on these marmakamas. As long as you have enough to support them. Says Rabbeinu Gershom, where we live in whatever shtetlach that the Jews lived, and we have such, you know, financial oppression, life is so tough financially. You know what? I don't want to let anyone take a second wife, because there's a good chance you're not going to have enough to support her. So therefore, it's a geder, it's a fence to protect the Issa d'oraisa of Sheirach Susava Anasa Lo Yigra, that Issa d'oraisa of not supporting your extra wives, we're going to put a fence around that and say we're not going to let you take a second wife, lest you take more wives than you could actually financially and emotionally support.
And that can also lead to a kula, because if you're living in a society where everything's very...
Yeah, obviously, if we have enough, you know, if we live in a society where everyone's wealthy, we could support numerous wives. So you're right. So that's the nature of a low plug. Okay, another number four is the following. There's a halacha in Evan Ha'ezer that says that you're not supposed to. Again, let's say in a time before Ben Gershon came around, you're not allowed to have a wife. You know, let's say you travel the world. So I have, you know, on Yom Tov I'm in Yerushalayim. I go to Yerushalayim for Gilmer Regalim. And I work in New York City, so life is easy. I don't have to buy two plane tickets. My wife here stays here. And I have a wife in Yerushalayim when I'm in Yerushalayim. And life is good. I have two wives, one in each city. And when I travel, they don't have to travel. I don't have to buy two plane tickets. So the Gemara says we don't want that to happen. You shouldn't have a wife in each place. Why? Because what happens if you have a wife in Yerushalayim and a wife in New York? You'll have kids in Yerushalayim and kids in New York. And what happens if 25 years from now, father dies, maybe mother dies, who knows what, you have a nice young lady from Yerushalayim, meets a nice young man from Queens, they start going out, and they get married. And lo and behold, they don't even realize that they are brother and sister from their father.
They never ask, who's your father?
What? I guess they didn't do good checking for Shidduchim.
It was from a simple time.
Yeah, in the good old days, they just asked, you know, like, what's your favorite ice cream? What's your favorite color? They didn't ask, like, who's your father? So therefore, we want to prevent that isser. So how do you prevent an isser? Again, the chacham made an isser. You can't have a wife here and a wife there, lest the children from the different places who don't really know each other, they never met each other, might marry one another. So Ben Gesher said, I'm going to take that a step further. I don't need to have two wives. I don't care where, anywhere, even in the same house. I don't want to have two wives at all, because we're choshes that some crazy scenarios could come up that a brother can marry a sister without realizing that they're brother and sister.
It's not shchiyah.
Oh yeah, that's a little bit unusual. I agree. Baruch Hashem, we have a lot of other reasons.
It's very improbable.
What?
It's very unlikely.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's unlikely. Meaning, according to the halacha, I would be allowed to have a wife in Queens and a wife in Brooklyn. You know, weekends I'm in Queens, and during, weeknights I'm in Brooklyn. The two families might never meet each other. According to halacha, that's fine, because it's the same Medina. Rabbeinu Gershom will say it's not fine. Why? For the same reason as that takana d'rabbanan of the two Medinas, that the family from Queens doesn't know the family from Brooklyn, and they might, at some point, marry one another. And they'll be marrying their sibling. Another reason, let's see number five. This, I don't know exactly what he means. What I'm assuming he means here is that what happens when you have two people who hate each other, who live in the same house? Do you think kashrus in that house will be good?
Kashrus?
If two people hate each other, they're going to be out to get each other, to be machshir one another. So, I don't know if I'm understanding this correctly, but if you have two people who hate each other living in the same house, each one is going to try to mess the other one up. You know, they'll mess them up with in Hilchas Tas Mishpacha, they'll mess each other up in Hilchas Kash, they'll just try to mess each other up and cause each other to be nichshol, different averas. So therefore, just to avoid situations of creating a house where people hate each other, and again, here we're saying not just because of the social point, but because of the concern that it's going to cause Isurim. Because people, one of the wives who hates, who detests her other wife, her tzara, we'll try to be machshel her, you know. So we avoid having two wives. Okay.
How would that work in practice? Like an example of that?
An example of that would be that when I'm cooking tonight's dinner, I'll make sure to serve you some nevela. Because I hate you.
To serve the
other tzara, some nevela. Tastes the same, it looks the same. It's tripe. I hate you. I want to be mashal you.
Also, there's a Gemara in Sochem that says, don't marry two wives, marry three wives, because then in the court, two of them are going to have
the third wife will stand for you. Great. Okay. That could be a right. That could be a hint to this answer. Okay. Now, what a nafkamina is whether we have that the last few reasons that it's a takana that I'm sorry that's a geta to prevent iser as opposed to the first, which were more social concerns to prevent fighting or not to take advantage of what women. What's nafkamina? So we saw one nafkamina is if we're going to be machmir, if there's a suffix on chemer, if there's a suffix, whether chemer ben or geshem applies. So if it's a geder for iser not to violate an iser, maybe we'll be machmir. I don't want to avoid an iser daraisa. So this is a chshash to an iser daraisa of, let's say, not fulfilling she'er ksus va'ona or other, or chshash daraisa, a chshash for an iser daraisa of marrying siblings. So maybe we'd be machmir. But if it's just a social thing, not to have, we don't want fighting. We don't want to take advantage of our women. So if there's suffix, whether there even applies the Chemer Ben Geshem, maybe we'd be Mekel. And the next most important, or another important nafkamina between these two categories of reasonings is, does it help for the wife herself, the first wife, to be Mochel? A guy's married to a wife, and they get along wonderfully. And the first wife knows that she can't cook. And she goes to cooking lessons. And she gets recipes from all the best bakers and cooks and her friends. And every party they go to, he sees something that he likes. She says, I'll get you the recipe. And whatever she does, try as she might, she can't cook good food. And she feels so bad for her husband, who she loves so dearly, that he just can't get a decent meal. So she says, you know what? She sees him depressed after one night after dinner, after the food is burnt and too salty and not salty enough. I says, you know what, my dear husband, I think you deserve another wife. I love you dearly, you love me dearly, we have a wonderful relationship, but hey, at least you get some food that you could eat, and I wouldn't mind either. I'll get some good meals also. Take another wife, I let you, I give you my shus, I give you my blessings, right? We have precedence for this. Where do we know this happened? Sari Meinu says, take Hagar, via Banemi Mena, right? I'm very happy for you to take her. You have a couple, and the first couple doesn't have children. And there are no kids in the house. And the first wife, she's a wonderful, dedicated, loving, caring wife. She feels so lonely. She's empty nest syndrome her whole life. She never had a kid in the house. She has no liveliness, no life. So she says, take another wife and we'll have some kids in the house. I'm happy to babysit. There's no bitter feelings between you and me. Take another wife.
Wasn't that for a mitzvah?
Okay. There's machlokas whether for a mitzvah it's mitzvah. That's machlokas where the Chemer Ben Geshem permits it if it's for mitzvah. Fine, so these are just scenarios where she might be mochel, her right. Could a woman be mochel, her unique single wife status, and allow her husband to take another wife on top of her? So let's think outside. If the whole reason is the takana to help her, to prevent fighting, that we have to protect the first wife to prevent her from being either, like the Rashba said, taken advantage of and being abused, or like the Beis Shmuel said that we want to prevent fighting. So if she's mochel,
then why not?
The whole takana of Chemer Ben Geshem is to protect her, to do well for her, and she doesn't need the takana. She's happy without it. Great. So we'll let him take another wife. However, if you say that the whole reason for the takana is to prevent isurim daraisa, of we don't want the guy, we the rabbis don't want to let a man take a second wife because we want to protect the integrity of the mitzvah of sheirak susav anasala yigra. We want to protect the integrity of the isur daraisa of a sister marrying a brother. So does it matter that the first wife was machelas? We never asked her. This takana wasn't out of concern for her. It's a concern for the primacy of Torah and a mitzvah daraisa, whatever the mitzvah is, two or three possibilities. And therefore, who's to say if we'll let mechila work? Yeah.
Fifth possibility.
Yeah.
So then you don't have a problem there.
Of course, the fifth possibility.
Yeah, they're not going to have a fight.
Well,
if she's mochel, then it's stomach.
That's true. That's true. So let's see what the Ran. The Ran asks this question. Let's say the first woman gives permission to the husband to take another wife. Could the husband take the second wife? If the first woman gives her das, gives her permission, gives her authority to say take another wife, yesh lada. We could question the following. To Efshir, perhaps midas isha yesh la heter. It'll be mutter. Not only that, sheish lada shafil heter in tzarach. Maybe. Okay, let's go to the next paragraph. Elishani mefak mipuze kishema. Maybe cherem ze lolita konas noshim levad nasa. Maybe it's not just to protect women. Maybe that's not the only reason for cherem rabbeinu Gershom. Ella af, it's also litakonas ha anashim. Maybe it's also to protect the men. How is it protecting the men? The rabbis know best. This guy wants another wife, and he's convinced that he won't fight. He's convinced there won't be arguments, but we. Chazal know better. Rabbeinu Gershom knows better. And he realizes that you're going to get into fights, or there'll be fights, and you'll be miserable. So therefore, Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom, we can't wipe away, because maybe it might be either for Isurim or to protect himself. And now, the last line of the Ran shows how psychologically in tune he was with people, and with men, and with women. Says the Ran, let's say we want to be Mecca. We say the whole Takana Rabbeinu Gershom is only to protect the women, so that they won't fight with each other, and so they won't be taken care of, take advantage of. And now she says, I asked my wife, would you let me take another wife? So, will I ever get a straight answer? I say, sweetheart, do you mind, you really you try hard, you're a good heart, you just really can't cook for the life of you. And I say in the gentlest way, is it okay if I take another wife?
Just hire a cook.
She may say yes just to please you.
Of course, she's going to say yes, why?
Because she wants
to please you, or if she doesn't say yes, you'll be bitter at her, you're not going to treat her nicely. So what are you effectively doing even by asking her the question?
You're not getting anything out of it.
You're not getting a real mechila.
Yeah.
You don't know if you're ever getting a real mechila. So you could, not only that, but you could use psychological manipulation to manipulate her to say yes. Right? The rabbi said, I'll take another wife unless you have her permission. Okay. Sweetheart, would you like to go shopping this year? Would you like a new outfit this year? Okay. Let's make a deal. You do mechila, let me take another wife, and I'll give you a credit card to use. Otherwise, you can't touch my credit card. Otherwise, I don't want you out of the kitchen. You can't go into my living room. Otherwise, chas v'shalom. That's exactly what the Ran realizes. Second to last line on the page, in the middle. Efshar, maybe Rabbeinu Gershom Choshesh, he was concerned, shemitoch shehanoshim kfufos lebaalein, since he knows that the women are subject to what their husbands are going to, what the husband's feelings and thoughts and actions are going to be, im yaspik nisina sushusa, olahatir achem midaita, maybe, shema yaknitena baala, maybe the husband will pester her, until she agrees. So she's not really agreeing. She's just, protecting herself, so she's forced into agreeing. So therefore, maybe mechila won't work. And that could be a nafkamina, whether it's a gedir for an iser, then mechila should not work, or if it's just for social convention, maybe mechila would work, except for this concern of the Ran. I don't think we have time to talk about hetemesh. Do you want to go for another 5-10 minutes? You want to stop here?
I would like to, but...
Okay, so we'll go for another few minutes. When there is a permission to take a second wife, for example, if the first woman went crazy, or let's talk about it, the first woman went crazy, so I can't give her a get, or the first woman is not religious, she went off the derech, and she's not even going to take a get, so I can't divorce her, she refuses to take it, so how am I going to get remarried? So, Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom allows me to take another wife. I'm sorry, perhaps in those situations, like we saw in the first Rashba in the Marmar Kamos, allows me under crazy situations, like my wife went crazy, she went off the dish, she's not religious anymore, so I'm allowed to take another wife. Rabbeinu Gershom wouldn't have applied in those extreme cases. However, there's something that you've all heard of called a heter, Meir Abanan. Let's see the source. The source is, that might be an earlier source, but the Bach writes, Ra'isi mirabosai shekiblu hei migdolei olam, that if a person does, if we, the rabbis, find that it is appropriate for a man to take a second wife, sheyatzi'u, they present ha'inyan lefnei ha'gedolim sheba'os ha'dar, they have to present the situation in front of the gedolim of the generation, v'yaskim v'heter zeh, and the gedolim have to agree to whatever heter we're giving this guy to take another wife, v'yachtimu, and you should have signing, mei rabbanim, 100 rabbis on this haskama. Now, you should just know that the Darkei Moshe, which is the Ramah, holds that nowadays you don't have to have a heter mei rabbanim at all. If we say you're allowed to get married because your wife went crazy, if we say you're allowed to get married because your wife is not religious anymore, you can take a second wife. According to the Ramah himself, you just get yourself a wedding hall and get married to a second wife. You don't have to get a heter mei rabbanim from the first wife. That's the next source. That since Mikur Hadin, the Gzeira no longer applies. Why? Because I'm not saying the Gzeira only applied until the end of the fifth millennia. Therefore, there's no real takana Rabbein Gershom. Why do I need a whole fancy heter mei rabbanim to get 100 rabbis from, we'll see, 100 rabbis from three different countries, from three different communities to sign on? You know how long that takes? You have to travel the world and convince and present the whole story 100 times, back and forth with deliberations with each of the 100 rabbanim in three continents, and we'll see how to find continents, countries. That could take, especially you have to raise money to go on these trips, that could take months, years. In the olden days, you have to take buses, you know, you have to, not buses, boats. You have to raise money, it could take years to be able to do that. Some people might never be able to do it. So Rama says, you don't need this whole heter mei rabbanim anymore, because the whole takana stopped in the year 1240-ish. Stopped after the fifth millennia. That's the one in the Isser stopped. Afterwards, maybe there's a minhag not to take more multiple women anymore, but it's only a minhag. You don't need a heter mei rabbanim to undo a minhag. The minhag is that in normal circumstances, don't take a second wife. But if your first wife went crazy, or your first wife is not religious anymore, so take another wife. Period. You don't have to get a heter mei rabbanim. Let's just talk about, let's finish today with a few of the parameters of the heter mei rabbanim, and we'll look at an interesting shayla that the Chasam Sofer was asked, in which he gets into the specifics of how to do a heter mei rabbanim. But look at his the questions that he raises. The Shus Chasam Sofer Chelek Gimel Siman Dalet Nidon, the subject at hand is a nishtates, a woman who went crazy. So now the husband wants to, this is the same question the Rashba had on the first page. Shenir laharav of Beis Dino, the Rav of the city and the Beis Din want to lahati labal lisa isha lishta, to take another wife. We're using a heter mei rabbanim. So now the question is, how much money and time do I have to exert in this heter mei rabbanim? Let's see what the questions are. She'elaso, im tzarech dafka, do I need specifically 100 from three states? Because that's the source is a kolbo, which is, let's go to the next paragraph, and then you'll see what the questions are better. The sefer kolbo, chayrim sheshom rabbeinu gershom, shelo lisa beiz nashim, ein lahatir, you could only permit taking another wife, rak b'meya anashim, mishlosha kihilos, from three different communities, the 100 have to be divided by three different communities, u'shlosha aratzos, and three different lands. What constitutes a different land? Does it have to be Australia, North America, and Asia? Kigon, for example, Aragon, Lombardia, Tsarfat, which is France. So they're not so far from each other. They're three different, like, they're basically all European places around France. Germany, France. Okay, so they're not terribly far away.
It's countries, not continents.
That's what you see, yes. That's what the Kolba says. And B, Gamheim, and also Lo Yaskimu, they should not agree. Achiru Tamevur Lahatir. They each have to agree. They can't just sign their name on the dotted line. They each have to agree to a specific reason why we're going to permit the guy to get.
Not the same reason between all of them. Just different reasons, or it has to be the same reason.
I'm not sure. It might have to be the same reason, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that. That's an excellent point. But now let's go back to the previous line of the Chasam Sofer, where he asks what his questions are. She'elaso, the middle of the three lines in the Shut Chasam Sofer. She'elaso, the person's question to me, the Chasam Sofer, is Im tzarech dafka mea migimel medinos shaveh b'shaveh. When we say you need 100 people from three countries, does that mean you need 33, 33, and 33, or 34 from each of the three countries? Or is it enough? This might be a lot easier. Oh, Sagi is sufficient. Sadi Ches Medina Echas. Get 98 signatures, I don't know, in one country, where you live. Get 98 signatures from, you know, you live in Brooklyn, get 98 signatures. And then you go to Philadelphia, you get a signature from a Rosh Hashiva in Philadelphia, and you go to Los Angeles, you get one signature from one Rosh Hashiva in Los Angeles. That's one question. Or does it have to be 33 here, 33 there, 33 there? That will be much more difficult. Second question, about third line. Is it sufficient? B'bachorim muflagei Torah v'yirei Hashem. Heter mea rabbanim. Rabbanim means they have to actually be the rabbis of a city, the rabbis of a shul. What happens if I go to Beis Medrash, I go to Lakewood, and I go to the top kol building in Lakewood, where everybody there is, you know, they're 28, they've been learning for 10, 15 years straight, uninterrupted. They're all 20, you know, 28, 30, 35 years old. But they're not practicing rabbis. They're not Rosh Hashivas. But here I have 98 in one room. Is that sufficient for Hetamei Rabbanim? Or do I actually have to have a Rav, Rabbanim, literally? And finally, Mahu Bechla, Medina, what's the parameters of a country or not? So we're not going to go through inside, but basically, in terms of who a qualified rabbi is, he comes out saying that it is not enough to just have a yeshiva bacher, even a married yeshiva bacher, a yeshiva koloman, who's exceptional and learned and a Talmud Chacham. You need somebody who has the title of rabbi. Because there are certain places in halacha where we see over time there were some that, for example, Seder Kedushin, he brings them out real, says that Seder Kedushin or a Seder of Get should only be done by somebody who has a title, has been ordained as what we call a rabbi. So too, Hetamei Rabbanim have to actually be people who have this title called rabbi. They don't have to be three different communities. They don't have to be three different rabbanim of communities, but they just have to be rabbis. And in terms of what qualifies the three different lands, let's say you have an empire that takes over, let's say the British Commonwealth. So 300 years ago, 250 years ago, before we broke away from England, so England owned England. They owned the United States of America. They didn't own Canada, because Canada was French. They owned a little bit of Canada? Okay, they owned some part in the...
They owned America.
Okay.
And they're still loyal to...
So let's say they own a whole bunch of, you know, countries throughout the world. Could I get, my 100 from three different countries if they're all under the same Commonwealth? And let's say it's not like today where it's just fake. It really was the same king that really controlled all three lands. So it says the last lines of these Chasam Sofer. We're not going to look at it based on the legalistic determination of who is the official government. When we say you need three lands, we want three different types of people, three different styles of thought. When we want to give issue, Hetamei Rabbanim, we want to make sure that the general, not just that people who are all learned in YU, who all learn a Brisker method, they all came up with the Heter. What about, you know, the Chassidus Poskim, who have a whole different way of looking at things? What about Rabbi Avadi Yosef and his, you know, his Mahalach HaLimud, where they have a whole different way of learning? What about people from Chafetz Chaim Yeshivas, where they have a different style of learning? So that's why we have three different countries. The point there, it's not that we need three geographic masses, three land masses that are different land masses. No, the point is you want three different countries which represent three different styles of halachic thought, that within the different styles of thought, or the way either halachic thought or, you know, how in general how people think on the street, those are reflected, and they all agree that this person could take another wife. That's why we have three different countries. And we're not going to follow necessarily if they're all on, you know, gathered under one governor, one prime minister, or one king. So these are some of the halachas of the Heter Mei Rabbanim, which is the Heter for the Chaim Rabbeinu Geshem. And as a Hashem, we should be zocha to only have things that are simchas and never otherwise.